you would, find the scripture, Romans 16:27. We're using this every sermon through this series on wisdom. It says, to the only wise God, through Christ, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Will you bow with me? Let's tell the Father that we love him today from our heart to his heart. And then we move our prayer to me and grateful and thankful. We overflow with thanksgiving. That's who we are. We're thankful people. So give thanks. We give thanks for who the Lord is and what he reveals to us, how he leads us through his very presence, his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness. He is salvation. We say thanks. Take a moment and pray for others who overlap into your life. Now lift them up, if you will. Some of them need prayers physically because of sickness and illness. Some financially, some need godly, truth-telling relationships. Some have emotional weight that they're carrying. Some need spiritual direction. Take a moment and pray for them. Lift their name and their situation up to our Heavenly Father. We pray for others. We walk down really in a system way to pray, and we begin praying for other nations. Nations that have an affinity, you have an affinity to them through some connection that the Lord has brought you to other countries. Ministries that you support, places where you have served. We certainly pray for peace with Russia and Ukraine, their war. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem with Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. And we pray for the Christians in Iran. I got something in the mail from the Voice of the Martyrs, which I'm a part of. It said, pray for the persecuted church in Iran. People are standing strong for their faith there. We pray for our nation, our hearts to turn back to our Lord, a restoration. We pray for godly wisdom in line with what we're focusing on today and in the next Sundays. God, give us your wisdom. People have already met and prayed in this building today for you, for us, for others. Pray for those who are around you right now, even where you're seated, even if you don't know them. Pray a blessing over people who are around you. And pray a blessing over your family, wherever they may be. And then in the spirit of blessing, we ask the Lord to bless the offering you brought today. But you brought more than a financial offering today. You brought you. You are an offering. We are living sacrifices to him. And we surrender to him today. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently. I'm your teacher. I'm your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment. Just simply, you're harder on me today than you are anybody in this room, and I know that. And I accept my place in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. Thank you for being with us. We're in a series, and you can see on the graphic that we'll put on the screen. We started it last Sunday. If you want to catch up, you can go to our podcast on our website or our app, and you can catch up with the intro sermon last Sunday. But last Sunday, we really focused on the verse that is mentioned in the graphic, and we will focus on it every Sunday. But all glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever, amen, that the wisdom of God is coming through his son, Jesus. He's the fulfillment of everything that he gives us. And last Sunday, we began by saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when I say fear, it's just a reminder, I'm not afraid of him. I'm in awe of what he does. It continues to amaze me that of all the big things that you and I would be focused on in the world, that he is still focused on us. How detailed he can be. Like, I dress the fields with lilies. I take care of the birds of the air. How much more will I take care of you? So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is where we started. And it all comes through Christ. Today we're looking at Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Let me read it to you. Pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because of the days they are evil. In Ephesians 5, 15, it begins by saying, pay careful attention to how you walk. Walk is a metaphor for living your life. But pay close attention to the landscape on which you're walking. Pay attention to it. I'm in the outdoors. I used to be a lot more than I am now, but it was a big part of my life. And I had to look at the terrain. I had to look at the landscape, even to be able to navigate or to walk even safely. And that's the picture that it's given here. Is pay attention to the landscape, to the terrain that you're in your walk, your daily, day-to-day life. And I want to show you in Scripture how just in our day-to-day, even our moment-to-moment, I want you to listen to me, okay? Our moment-to-moment, that God gives us wisdom. He gives us his wisdom. I want to begin by showing you Ephesians 1:8 for just a moment. I want you to see these verses on how he gives it to us. He's talking about Jesus, Paul is, that he, Jesus, lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He gives it to us. Look at Ephesians 1:17. It says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He gives you a spirit of wisdom. Hint, hint, here, I want you to see this. Next Sunday, the sermon's gonna be that he gives us a spirit of wisdom. So I'm gonna go ahead and let you know that a little bit ahead of time, coming out of this verse. But he gives it to us. I want you to see Ephesians 3:10, staying in the context of the Ephesian letter. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavens. It says multifaceted there, but I grew up with it saying the manifold wisdom of God. It's the same thing. But here's what I want you to see. We're going to come back to this a little deeper in the sermon. That when you, in your day-to-day life, that he gives you wisdom. And how does he do that? Well, number one, he gives it through the living word, which is the person of Christ. Secondly, he gives you through the written word, which is still the person of Christ. And we get his wisdom, we glean it from being in God's presence through his son, and then being in his presence in his word. They're both the same thing. They're both together. They're not different. They're together. And so we see a picture of that he gives it to us. But the manifold or multifaceted wisdom, here's something you need to know. And I even asked some people after the first service, did you get that in the sermon today? And they said yes. Whether they did or not, I don't know. But they said yes. And here's what I want you to get. When you take the next step in your life with godly wisdom, It affects layers you don't even see. See, I want you to look at the last part of this verse. I want you to get it. I want you to feel it. It says that the manifold or multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavens. You and I, we just think about living here on earth. God sees more than earth. He sees all the layers, even into the authorities, the principalities, the rulers of the air, the powers of the air, all these things. When you and I take a next step of obedience and a next step with godly wisdom, we are affecting more than our next step. It affects our next step, but that next step of godly wisdom goes and spreads throughout the heavenlies. It's layered. And it does more than what you think is going on. It's affecting everything. So I want you to be able to see that. James 1:5, we're still talking about giving. And often I go to our good friend James. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. When I pray for our nation, I pray for godly wisdom. We really have relied on the wisdom of man, which we'll talk about here in just a moment, a little bit way too much. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, he gives it. What's God gonna do, hold it back from you? I mean, is it his task to tease us with it and pull it back? No. I mean, he wants his creation to live with his own wisdom. And I want you to get the picture here from Ephesians 1:8 all the way to James 1:5 that he gives us wisdom. He gives us wisdom. And he says he gives it generously to us. One of the things in my leadership that I'll let you know, and I may even say it to you, I may have said it to you, and some things have come up that you just have to handle as a pastor, and it doesn't mean they're all negative. It's just things you have to do as a leader. And a lot of, 99% of the time, not 100%, but it's pretty close, I will look at that situation and to the person that I'm talking to, and I'm go, we'll figure it out. So sometimes they're looking for me to give them an answer immediately. And I've learned in leadership that I'll just look at them and go, we'll figure it out. Now, I can give that answer, and you automatically get to thinking, well, Pastor Jeff is dodging it. And he's dodging it. He just doesn't want to handle it right now. I mean, we're so quick, you know, with wanting a response or wanting anything like that. And you'll take my comment, we will figure it out. And you're going, he's just passing it off. Well, I'm processing it. As I get older, my process takes a little longer. Things connect, but just not as fast as they used to. All right, it's a little sluggish. But one of the things I do when I say that is I'm not only processing, I'm casting it. I'm casting it to the Lord. I'm including God, and I want to wait for that response. One person said, I'm full of stories, and that's true, I am. I want to tell you a story how I got to this line. We'll figure it out. I have an outdoor ministry called Rev Outdoors. It's a trademarked ministry, and I haven't done much in it since Tom passed away in 2017, and then taking care of Julie's parents, her mom and her dad. I'll get back to it, but I'm not into it like I was. But I was all over the South. I was filming a TV show in Mississippi, central Mississippi. We were duck hunting, and I had my newly trained duck dog, Rev, who is the face of my ministry, Rev Outdoors. I named him Reverend Zaxby Cade. Reverend because I am that. Zaxby because at that time it was my favorite chicken place. And Cade because of Cade's Cove in the Smoky Mountains. I love Cade's Cove. So I named him Reverend Zaxby Cade on his pedigree. So we were filming the show. It was a guy named Dennis Lewis. He had a show called Southern Woods and Waters Outdoor TV. And I wanted Rev to be on. You know what I'm saying? He's on camera. The guy who trained Rev and me, usually we need to train the owner more than we train the dog, but that's usually the way it usually works. And so it was a big production, all that. Things went well. We were leaving, and we were walking in knee-deep water and mud. We call it gumbo in Mississippi and Arkansas. It's called the Mississippi-Arkansas gumbo. We were walking out, and Rev was able to walk out. He didn't have to swim out. And so he got tangled up in the decoys. And if you don't know, they're hooked together. It's called a jerk line or a jerk string. And they're all hooked together. And he got caught up in that. And Rev's walking out right beside me at heel. And behind him are the decoys, and they're following him. And Rev knows that wasn't right. Something wasn't right. And if you can imagine, as he's walking, they're strung out behind him, and they're beating together, you know, making that hollow sound as decoys can make. And he just looked at me like, "What's going on?" You know, I mean, you know how you can talk to a dog but not talk to a dog. And so he just looks up at me like, "Why are those decoys following me?" Because they're all tangled up in his feet, his legs. And I said to Jimmy, I said, "What do we do with that?" And Jimmy's the guy that trained Rev and me. And he said, he looked down at my dog and he goes, "Figure it out, Rev. Just figure it out." And it wasn't long till he stepped out of it. I've acquired that leadership line from that story. You may come to me with even a personal problem. It can be a spiritual problem. It can be an emotional situation. It can be financial. It can be whatever. And I may look at you and go, "We'll figure it out. I'm not dodging you. I'm just going to process it and cast it and include God in it. I'm going to give him time to do his work and time to even do his work in me." That's a doing. Remember, our friend James says, we all begin by hearing, but don't be a hearer only. Don't stay there. Let God transition you to being a doer. And a doing means we walk with the wisdom of God. And he gives it to us from Ephesians 1:8 to Ephesians 1:17 to Ephesians 3:10 to James 1:5. Do you think he wants us to get the picture that he gives us wisdom? Because he repeats it. I could go deeper and longer in scripture that says that he gives it to us. And remember that when he gives it to us, when we take that next step of godly obedience, it not only affects our step, which it does, but it affects the layers of creation. It goes through the layers. So this passage, Ephesians 5:15, it says pay attention to how you live or how you walk. Look around for your next steps. Look at the terrain. Look at the landscape and just see, am I navigating this with godly wisdom, or am I doing it with my own logic and reason? Which we're going to get there in a moment to let you know that leads to the days of being evil. Godly wisdom is the right next step. Unwise, if you walk in an unwise way, it leads to stumbles and falls. So walk, pay attention to the landscape. Pay attention to where you're walking. I can go back to God's word, and I'll be in Psalm 119 in just a moment, but this just came to me, that your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. For my godly, obedient wisdom next steps. When I take those steps, it doesn't just affect me. It goes through the layers of the heavenlies. So we become careful in how we do that. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, not only be careful how you walk or live, but don't walk as unwise. Well, what is that? What does unwise mean? It does mean foolish. We learned last Sunday from a quote from R.C. Sproul that foolishness can lead to evil situations. That when you're called a fool in a biblical matter, it's referring to you're heading to evil ways in your life. So it says don't walk as unwise or foolish. So what is that? Well, I'm going to give you the topic of the context of Ephesians 5, and you're going to go in a moment, where did you get that? I'll show you where I got it. But unwise walking is living life in a rush, in a hurry. Listen, I know you're going, man, preacher, are you ever going to get off that? I'm not. I'll never get off of it. Because we live in such a rush that we don't pay attention to the landscape or the terrain. And then Scripture just told us, pay attention to the landscape and the terrain. Should I go into this? Should I do this? Is this next step going to be consequences? What's the possibilities here? What are the consequences if I do this? We live in such a hurry that we don't pay attention to the landscape or the terrain. Carl Jung said, and I've said this many times, and I remember when this happened in my seminary life. Carl Jung wrote, "Hurry is not of the devil, hurry is the devil." We rush and we rush and we rush from point A, B, C, and D. And we've unwise people live in a hurry, in a rush. You're not paying attention to anything. And then when the Holy Spirit does work in your life, you're going, "I don't have time to follow him." Who do you think's behind all that mess? It's pay attention. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to where you're living and how you're walking. Pay attention to the terrain and the landscape. Pay attention to, if I do this, what will the consequences be? And if I do this, even in the spirit of wisdom, what are the possibilities that come from this? So he says, don't walk as unwise, but as wise. Let's look at Ephesians 5:16 for just a moment. Here's how you live in wisdom in this context, making the most of the time. I told you, you're going to ask me a question, why did I talk about hurry and rush? Well, the answer to that of the life of the unwise is found in verse 16, the next verse. It says, making the most of the time. Not godly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. Wisdom, godly wisdom, is we make the most of the time that we have. I'm going to give you in a simple format about how to be able to do that today. Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission. I'm just going to give you part of it. The command of a resurrected Jesus. These are our marching orders that we get from him. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He says, go. And he goes, go and make disciples. Making disciples is not easy. It's not convenient. It's very difficult to stay in the process of that. But that's what he asks us to do, to go and make disciples. But the first marching order he gives us is to go. And the way that Matthew presents this in the words of Christ is, as you go, just go live your life. Go live your life the rest of today. But making the most of the time means look for the opportunities to be able to serve him. Look for those. It's redeeming the time. It means we're buying it back. We serve the Lord and his church. You serve your family and have an incredible work ethic. But just pay attention. Not only pay attention to the landscape or the terrain, but pay attention to how God ordains your steps. Pay attention to the opportunities that he gives us. Psalm 119:133. This is all about being in the Word of God. Make my steps steady through your promise. Don't let any sin dominate me. Godly wisdom and godly steps are going to lead you to a life that has less sin in it. When you go to your own logic and reason and earthly wisdom, it's going to be more stumbles and fall. It's going to be more sinful behavior. But make my steps steady through your promise. Don't let any sin dominate me. I really have to ask the question of something that we may be getting ready to do. And the simple question to this is, can God bless what I'm about to do? If he can't bless what you're about to do, you shouldn't do it. It just becomes that simple of asking for godly wisdom in what is going on. So he says, as you go, just live your life and look for the God-ordained moment. Look for the appointed moment. Look at a moment he created, not a program-driven thing, not something I've given to you in housekeeping, but it's Holy Spirit-induced. And you just live that out. Let's just stop for a moment and let's ponder. You all understand ponder, right? I said to the first service, I'm talking to you, and I said, but I don't want the second service to think they don't count. So I'm talking to you. I've already talked to the first service. I'm talking to you. Let's just stop for a moment and ponder this week. We're all scheduled out. This afternoon, I will write down my schedule Monday through Sunday. And it'll be full of stuff I've got to do, just like you. It's no different. But let's stop and think as I go this week. And if I just live my life tending my family, doing the work, serving in whatever capacity, but he gives me those opportunities. Let's just stop and think, what if everybody in this service blessed two people this week, just two? I don't want to say forget the first service, because they matter too, but let's just stay in this one. What if all of us, let's just stop for a moment. Let's cut that in half. What if everybody in here just saw an opportunity to bless one person this week? Imagine what a difference that would make week after week after week. God gives us those appointed times. How do wise people walk? Wise people walk redeeming the time. Means he buys it back. I've heard people say, well, man, I've wasted all these years. I don't know that you can say that in the light of Scripture, because it says he redeems the time. He buys it back. He gives you opportunities. You don't have to wait for my announcement of housekeeping, as I've already said. It's the Holy Spirit will lead you to that, and just take that. Wise living looks for God-directed opportunities that he gives us. That's what walking wise looks like. Look at John 9:4 for just a moment. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Look at Colossians 4:5-6. Walk in the wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of time. Verse 6, your speech should always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each and every person. It is walking wise means I live my life, Great Commission as you go, but I look for the opportunities to be able to bless other people. That's how we look and we live. And we include the Lord in all this. And then in Ephesians 5:16, it said to pay attention to this, to make the most of the time because the days are evil. I know you're going to amen that. But people, when they walk foolishly, then evil things are soon to follow. They don't walk in godly wisdom. I want you to take this verse down. And I'm telling you that because you're going to be quizzed. I'm going to give you the quiz on it Friday, all right? So there will be a test. Isaiah 5:20-21. And I want you to write this down because this is what unwise living leads to, okay? Unwise living will lead to what Isaiah the prophet said many, many years ago. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Hello. Who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own opinion. You see where it leads? And clever in their own sight. Use this. This verse speaks to the days that we're in. That evil is good and good is evil. But woe to those who are wise in their own opinion and clever in their own sight. Godly wisdom is living out kingdom principles. Like you're going, what's a kingdom principle? In the Gospels, it says, the Lord says, be faithful in small things, and then I will put you in charge of greater things. You and I get frustrated that he doesn't do greater things with us, and you don't need to be frustrated because you've not done small things well. If you don't do small things well, you're not going to do greater things. That's a principle that will never, ever change. So godly wisdom leads to living out his kingdom principles. So pay attention. Walk wise. Walking wise means I look at the terrain, I look at the landscape, and I look how I'm navigating my way. Look for the opportunities to serve him. Look for the revelation of God. Realize being a doer is blessed. The hearer is not blessed, but that's where we all start. James says the doer is blessed. And this, even this week, look for an opportunity to be a blessing to other people. I can remember in my days at Campbellsville University living in dorm life, and I would go into friends' rooms, and a lot of them had a common poster that was very popular. And it just had some landscape scenery on it. It was very beautiful. But it had a saying, don't pray for an easy life, pray for a strong one. If we're not careful, we'll pray for an easy life. We'll follow the Lord because we want ease and comfort. He doesn't promise that. But he does promise strength and overcoming. And I want you to know that on purpose, I did the strength series before I did the wisdom series. And the reason I did that is we have hills and valleys in our life, and we all like the hills and the celebrations. I don't think we applaud the valleys and the seasons of our life that we never ask for. But God promises to lead us through, and he gives us the strength to lead us through. That's why I preached the strength series first. And why did I follow with the wisdom series? He gives us the strength to go through, but he gives us the wisdom to navigate the journey. He gives us the strength to go through, but he gives us the wisdom to navigate our journey. And that is important to us. I don't pray for an easy life. I pray to be strong. I want to be transparent and share something with you, and it has to do with that phrase that I used earlier. When it comes to me, we'll figure it out. And I just want to show you how God does things, and he does them with you too, not just me. But we're so thankful for Steve Cornish, who oversees our building and land. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, we're getting ready to do the Joash offering in November. And man, have we burnt through your other Joash offering from last year. It's been one episode after another. So we have a new water break that affects this building, and we're trying to find it. And so they called, and I know when Steve texts me, call me when you get a chance, thanks. I'm like, oh no, you know? I'm like, oh no. So I got that text, I called him, and he said, I've got bad news, and we've got a break, and the meter's running, and we still haven't found it. We're in the process of that. And so we're going through, we're on a slab here, and if it's underneath this building, then it's, we're going to dig up concrete. We're going to have to cancel daycare to find it. We're going to have to cancel daycare to fix it. All that's coming up, and I respond, we'll figure it out. Sounds like I'm dodging it. I'm not dodging it. I'm just including. So I called Scott Brown. Now we're not a small church, but we're small enough where Scott Brown is a plumber. He and his son Spencer and Evan, they're dear friends of our family. They are very faithful at Sand Spring Baptist Church, and they always will be. But we're dear, dear friends, dear friends. And so his son Spencer had already been out here to survey it. So we're going to find the leak. And I just called him up. I said, Scott, I need to chat with you a minute, man. And his words to me, I didn't even get into my discussion. He said, listen, don't you worry about that leak out there. And I went, really? And he goes, nah. He said, don't worry about that thing. He said, we've already shut off part of the building. We know where it's not. He said, if it's on that end, which is that the north end, we call it the north end, I said, well, what about all that? He goes, we're not going to dig up that concrete. He goes, it's going to be like a heart surgery. He said, we're going to find that thing outside, and we're going to bypass that, run it up the wall and through the roof, and then drop it back down, and nobody will know the difference. And I went, Man, I want to steal you from Sand Springs, Scott Brown. Will you come? I didn't say that to him. But I'm like, man, I know there's wars going on and there's famine going on, but God used Scott Brown that day. I called Steve immediately. I said, Scott just told me that we can find it and we can just get it. He said, it's a piece of cake. Don't worry about it. And here's what God did with me. I know that when Steve said that to me, I go, we'll figure it out. I could be dodging it as a leader, like putting it on the back burner, but I'm not. I included the Lord. I not only included the Lord, I cast it to the Lord. And I know there's wars and famine going on. I know all that, but at that moment, he rested this preacher's heart. Now, I care about you more than I do a water line. But at that moment, do you all hear what I'm saying? At that moment, God used Scott Brown, and go tell him I said so, and tell him I said, give you a discount, all right? Knock some off if you use him next. But God used Scott Brown to bring rest to my heart. And that's what God does. You and I are looking at all these worldly situations going, you know, if we picture God with a desk, man, he's got stacks of files everywhere. He doesn't have time for me. I dress the fields with lilies. I take care of the birds of the air. How much more will I take care of you? All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for your souls. I am gentle and I am humble to you. And I know you and I can take our life situations and compare them to bigger situations and go, I don't need to bother God with it. When I told you that you take a next step of obedience and you take a next step of godly wisdom, it affects the heavenlies. I want to remind you that God has never asked you for your advice or your opinion. Now, I don't know if he's never asked me, but I'm certain he's never asked you, and I'm not putting me above you. I just know he's never asked me, so I assume he's never asked you. Do you understand? I mean, it's not like, okay, this is going on. Let me know what you think about figuring it out. You and I have got to trust the Lord. We've got to learn to lean on him and to include him into our life. That what's the next step of godly wisdom and obedience, knowing that that's going to affect the heavenlies that I can't see. It's going to affect demons and angels and things in heavenly places, the schemes of the enemy. It's going to throw it all out of balance. So we've got to learn and see that. I don't pray for an easy life. I pray for a strong life. And God is going to give us strength to get it through, but he's going to give us wisdom to navigate that journey. And we've got to live there. So my invitation for you today is, what do you need to ask him into your life on? Where's an area of faith and trust that he's been working on you? And I'm going to ask you to lay that down today. Walk as people who are wise. I see the terrain and the landscape of where I'm walking. I got to pay attention to it. And not as unwise, which is just haphazardly, we're in a rush. And guys, when you and I are in a rush, I'm just going to say this. I asked for words of knowledge. I didn't say this to the first service. I'm going to talk to you parents for just a moment. You can live in such a rush that you will never even know your children. I didn't say you weren't care for them. You don't give them clothes or the latest shoe style or whatever it is. But you don't even know them. I mean, that's one of our first areas of ministry, is there. And just look at that. This man, if I could slow you guys down, I would. I mean, if I could reach into your soul and just take that meter and turn it back a little bit and just slow you down, I'd do that in a second. Because we're missing way too much. And we're missing the opportunities that God gives us. So just live your life today and this week. Live it. Take care of your family. Have a tremendous work ethic. Be a good friend and family member, good neighbor, all those things. And then when the Lord gives you that opportunity, you step into it and be a blessing to other people. I know what's going on in your head. You think, preacher, my life is so busy that if he gives me an opportunity and I take it, it's just going to make everything else stack up. It's not true. He says he redeems the time. What you do for him that brings honor and glory to him, he will honor you. Scripture says, if you honor me, I'll honor you back. And I know the hesitancy of stepping into serving him. You're thinking, man, everything will pile up if I do that. I just want you to know he'll redeem the time. He'll make the time for you. Man, will you receive that today? Will you do that? And also, will you trust him? I told Amy on the phone when Steve texted me about another water break. I said, we're going to change our word next year. Our word this year is trust. And man, that's all we've been doing. I said, our word in 2025 is going to be peace. You know, it's going to be steel. You know, it's going to be, we've our new word this year has been trust. And man, I mean, it's been one thing after another. But I want to tell you something. God's been faithful. He's been faithful, and he is, and he always will be. Amen. And receive that. Listen, just include him, will you? Include him. And then walk in those godly steps of wisdom and obedience. And it changes the world. It affects the heavenlies. It affects the layers. I know you want to do that. So trust him, okay? Whatever it is you got to do today, you've never trusted him as Savior, I pray you do that today. Man, I can't imagine living a life without Christ and for Christ. Can't imagine it. Come and surrender your life today. Let today be the day where your life is absolutely transformed by him. You're here and you surrendered him, then trust him. There's areas of your life that he's been working on you that you need to trust him with. I pray that you give that over to him today. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your place? Steve, I'm going to need you down here if you don't mind. And you come. The invitation is, whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. He loves you, and he wants you to include him in that. I pray you do that today. You come.